kind of self-explanatory. You can read it on your own. But chapter 13 begins to talk about the alliance of honorable men in the house. This is actually, we're going to talk about, in this particular chapter, the role of the senior pastor. And this is important that you understand this because, especially when you're placed in a certain house, or let me say it like this, when you're placed in a certain family, a certain vision, it's good to know these factors so you'll know whether this pastor is doing these things. So if the pastor is doing these things, then you can rest assured that it's going to be very easy for you to find your place. All right? So we're going to begin discussing the role of a senior pastor. I'll start off with this statement. A senior pastor will need a winning team of trustworthy men and women who will live honorably before him and avail themselves in their maximum capacity and capability. Are you seeing this? Remember earlier in the year, I said one of the things about covenant is that it's going to have to stop. In covenant, you can't be self-centered. You can't be self-centric, I said. In other words, we have to move from a self-centric lifestyle, Christian lifestyle, to a God-centric lifestyle. So that means now, when I join myself to an alliance, to a church, to a vision, I'm not joining because of what they can do for me. I'm joining because of what I can bring to the table. Are you seeing this? And so, because one of the things that God always did, when he always set up a covenant or an alliance, it was always about how those people in the covenant can affect those that are around them. When he established the covenant with Abraham, one of the things, let's go back to the very first covenant. The very first covenant that God established was with Adam and Eve. He said, hey, y'all do these things, I'm going to do these things. The whole purpose of that, we went over this before, the whole purpose was for God to train them on how to be like him so he can release them into the outer darkness and they can duplicate what was in Eden. See, because Eden didn't cover the whole earth. If they covered the whole earth, where did God expel them to? So God was actually going to train them to go out and begin to, that's why I say be fruitful and multiply. I wasn't talking about having sex and babies. That was only one aspect of it. He was actually talking about, I want you to be fruitful and go and reproduce what you see here. So every covenant that God has ever established was about those that were in covenant being able to affect the lives of those that don't know about the covenant. Are you seeing this? So, whenever we come and join ourselves to a man or woman of God, it's more about what can we bring to the table. It seems as if we're coming to get something for us, but it's really us coming to bring what God has hidden in us so that it can be brought out by that senior pastor or that leader. Is that making sense? So we can't be a church full of self-centered people looking for what God can do for us. We have to become a church that becomes God-centered, a God-centered, so that we can find what we can do for him. Because God has already paid the price for everything he wants to do for you. Are you seeing this? So now, when we become God-centered, we must now show up saying, well, here's a statement. Get in where you fit in. Not get in and take over. Get in and see where you fit. Here's the role of the senior pastor. And the author did a great job because it established this role, these roles in the order of importance. The order we're going in is going to be the order of importance. So, obviously, A is the most important. He or she must have the access and ability to meet God by commanding a covenant relationship with God. Accessibility to God. If your pastor don't have accessibility to God, parent, you're in trouble already. But it seems like there should be a given, right? But you wouldn't believe how many pastors we have today that cannot access God. But some of it is just an occupation. Some of them is something that they might not be fasting to. So they really don't know how to access God. A senior pastor must be able to access God, must be able to have an intimate relationship with Him. This is why I believe in studying to live, not studying to preach. See, one of the things that I want for LTMA is that we as ministers, we hear apostles speak because, listen, everything that apostle minister on, he's first living it. I mean, he's practicing in his own life. Because, and we're going to get to this later on with a pastor accepting God. Yeah, some pastors that are great pulpiteers, they know how to deliver the message. It's outlined, it's delivered. Not that I have anything against outlined, because I use outlines, but you can tell when it's an outline or when it's an outline. You can tell when it's just I'm going down the pages, or you can tell, watch this, keyword. You can tell when an outline is enhancing an importation. Are you seeing this? You got some pastors that are that can great people. They got charisma. They know how to bring it up, bring it down. They know how to anticipate what to say next, what to make it, how to make it laugh, how to make you committed, how to do this, how to win you over. But then there's no importation. Why? Because sometimes it must be us getting out of the way and letting God do what He wants to do in the lives of the people. And it's not always about what we say. Does that make sense? So a senior pastor must have acceptability to God. And watch this. Everyone must know it. In Wayland Christian Center, there's no doubt that Dr. Thompson has acceptability to God. There's not a person that connected to Word of Life doubt that at all. They know he has accessibility to God. And they know whenever they call on him with a situation or with a problem, they know that he can access God. Are you seeing this? Everyone must know that God is with the senior pastor and that God's favor and presence is manifested with him. Watch this. The senior leadership has charisma, personality, style, and audience, but is often lacking and this ability to meet God on behalf of the people and represent God to the people. Are you seeing this? Moses had that ability. I mean, Moses, I never forget Moses, reading about Moses, Moses stood in the gap on behalf of millions. Now watch this. Here we go with God's grace again. Miriam was expelled from the camp, but he was only expelled for 7 days. Then that God wanted her to see her error and repent. And then Moses said, God, don't let us stay out there too long. And God listened to Moses. Moses was able to access God for the people that he was leading. That's a must in a senior pastor. Watch this. Go to Numbers, the 12th chapter. I like reading this particular passage. Because God said something here to Moses, and he distinguished Moses. He distinguished Moses when he said this. And this is how every senior pastor must be distinguished. Remember the 12th chapter and the 5th verse. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. Now, for those of you that I'm teaching right now in the culture of honor and faith for Brother John, but if you, I don't know if he went over this, but in talking about honor, This is strange what happened here. Because God showed up in the door of the tabernacle. In other words, Moses built the tabernacle for the presence of God to come down and rest with the people. God showed up at the door to come. Now, what's funny about this? What's funny about this is that God never left the inner chamber of the tabernacle. But in this particular case, because of what Miriam did in defying his authority, God set back in the house. God said, no, I'm not going to wait for them to come into me. I'm going to meet them at the door. So this is serious to God. Now, watch what God said about Moses. And the Lord came down the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle. It seems like as soon as they opened the door to walk in, there God was. And I bet you all of them were shocked because God never came off from the inner chamber. Because in the inner chamber, that's where the veil was. See, that's where the veil, that went into when Jesus died and finally died because it was written into, I'm talking about the veil that God hid behind when the veil went into. That means God was not able to be among his people in the face of the earth. So this is the same veil. God came from behind that veil this time again to meet them at the door of the tabernacle. Watch this. And called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. You see this? And will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so. In other words, don't play with Moses. He ain't the one. He ain't just no prophet. Who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak. Do you see the difference? Even apparently, and not in God's speeches. This ain't gonna be when I talk to him, it's gonna be clear. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Are you seeing this? See the difference. See, God took Moses and said, Moses, he told Miriam Aaron, listen, Moses is not a prophet. I talk to prophets in vision and dreams. I still think through vision and dreams. But see, Moses is my servant. I'm going to talk to him mouth to mouth, directly. And he's going to be, and then when I talk to him, it's going to be clear. So here it is. Watch this now. See, he talks about accessibility to God. You seeing this? And not only have accessibility to God, but must have clear direction from God. So God said, telling Moses, I'm not going to talk in dark speeches. I'm going to be very clear. So here is this accessibility to God and have a clear understanding of what God wants. People in world life, we have a clear understanding of what God wants. Because he's spoken clear to our man of God. So therefore, we got to be walking around blessed about what God wants and where he wants to go. We know what God wants, and we know where he wants to go. So now it makes it easier for us to find our positions. Does that make sense? Number two, the senior pastor must be able to secure God's presence for the people. The senior pastor must not only know God intimately, but also be able to bring God's presence back to the people. Look at Exodus chapter 33. Turn there. Or you can read it in your book, either one. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. And then he said to him, Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, you don't need us up again. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight and I and your people? It is not by your going with us so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all of the peoples who are upon the face of the earth. So Moses understood. Moses said, God, the only way I'm going out here is that your presence come with me. If you don't go with us, then you'll sit there going, because how are they going to know that we're different if you don't show up with us? Are you seeing this? So watch this. This gives another characteristic of a senior pastor. A senior pastor must be humble enough to know it's not them, but God. Because if it had not been for God's favor, There's two grace types of grace. There's two types of grace. There is a positional grace. Then there is an empowering grace. They're the same, the two aspects. See, some people get the positional grace mixed up with the empowering grace. So then they start to do things that they wasn't empowered to do because they mistakenly get the positional grace. I don't know if I'm making sense. See, some people are positioned, all of us are positioned in the eyes of God the same. But then God empowers us to do different things. Are you seeing this? So sometimes, this is why these qualifications are important, because a senior pastor must be empowered to bring the presence of God back for the people. That's where impartation can take place. See, this is why it's not just about outlines. It's not about being a pulpiteer. It's just not about being eloquent in your speech. It's not just about being able to know how to serenade a crowd. But it's about understanding that I am what I am only by the grace of God. Only because God has empowered me to do this. Which means when God has empowered me to do this, I understand from God that it's not me. So then God can get all the glory and the impartation can take place in the lives of the people because I am not blocking it because I know it's not me. Does that make sense? Look at what David said in 1 Chronicles. David said to all the children of Israel, if it seems good to you and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their cities with pasture land, that they may meet with us and let us bring back the ark of our God to us. For we did not take it in the days of Saul. Because David saying, something going to change here. I am qualified to bring back the presence of God because God was carried in the ark of the covenant. That's where his presence resides during David and when David was in his kingship. He said, we're going to bring this thing back because Saul ain't going to look for the presence of God. But we're going to look for the presence of God, and I'm authorized to bring it back. And that's what David was saying. Watch this. The senior pastor must command such favor before God that the presence of God will manifest when he calls upon the name of the Lord. See, that ain't something you study on. That ain't something you graduate from seminary with. That is something that you have been graced with or empowered with. But when you talk, God shows up. Now, it's amazing to me how many churches are established without the pastor or the one who's calling himself a pastor in that church does not have this qualification. Cannot command the presence of God at a moment. That's dangerous. That's dangerous because what you're saying is, you see, when you say I'm a pastor, what you're saying is God has empowered me to lead people. So when I begin to lead people, that means all kinds of people are coming. So if all kinds of people are coming, I need to be equipped to be able to bring the presence of God when somebody walks in with a demon or with a spirit or with a problem that I cannot handle. Are you saying this? See, got a lot of people playing with this title pastor. A lot of people playing with it. Just say, oh, we're going to hold this church here. Man, listen. That's dangerous. Because now you've got people who trust you and believe in what you say coming following you, and you ain't been, you going off of your positional grace and not the empowering grace. God always answered the patriarchs as well as the great men of God in the Bible. Always did. He responded to their cry and voice of petition. Number three, the senior pastor received the mandate or the assignment by God's direct choosing. You know, people always have, one of the things that the Bible deals with the most is ego and pride. And the reason why he deals with that the most is because that's how the enemy was, that's how the enemy was developed. That's how Satan was developed, because of pride and ego. He wanted to know why they was all worshiping God on the throne, and why they don't worship me like that. So what happens is, God just sometimes equips people to do things that others ain't going to be able to do. And a lot of times, because of the system, and I've gone over this before, but it's good, bad, it's bad, it's good to repeat again, because of the world system that we live in, we equate leadership with riches. So we figure the only way we're going to get is that we got to lead. Are you saying this? And that's not necessarily the case. So what happens, Satan does a great job in figuring that we have to lead in order to become wealthy. And so now, we want to be the ones with the mandate. We want to be the ones with the mandate. That means that the true mandate from God can't get through. And that's why you have all these little churches on every corner. All these different little made-up mandates. Made-up mandates. Because if God is really in it, it's not going to stay like that. Are you seeing this? So a senior pastor must be able to receive the mandate by God's or assignment by God's direct choosing. Now watch this. God gives the work of the region to the man or woman who pleases his heart. Are you seeing this? Sometimes God gives an assignment to the one who is available and obedient, not just to those who are capable and skillful. This is important. So it goes back to Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient. Willing and obedient. Because see, sometimes our natural talents get in the way of God's empowering grace. We rely on talent and what we're gifted at, rather than relying on what God is going to do, taking our weakness and causing it to be a strength. Watch this. I've seen this happen. When pastors fail to respond to God's present move and his assignment for the city, God will have to give his work and word to someone else who is ready and willing. Number four, another qualification or another role of the senior pastor is he must mature individuals for participation. Now, man, this one is awesome, because this shows that the senior pastor realizes that it's not him or her. See, most of the day are pastor-centered. It's centered around the pastor, centered around his or her charisma, his or her ability to sing, ability to speak. Dr. Trump always says this. He says, I want to put you all in a position that if you come up with a situation, you know the Word of God just as well as I do. Are you seeing this? So that a bunch of babies are not being created in the church. A bunch of people who can't fend for themselves. A bunch of people that always need pastors to come pray for them. Come by my house, come pray for the pastor. Pastor, I need you to come by the hospital. I need you to come do this, Pastor. And not ever realizing that they know that the same God that's with Pastor is with them. So our role is Pastor has to mature the church, has to mature individuals for participation. Participation in what? Participation in the vision. Honing and developing them to recognize their empowering grace. Because every one of us has a position of grace, and everyone else has an empowering grace. Every last one of us. So we have to mature beyond our positional grace to realize what is our empowering grace. The individual believer must be equipped and empowered so that he or she is contributing in the maximum capacity and usefulness. Many underpowered believers become a liability to the work of God. Another role of the senior pastor is to raise up winning teams. In other words, being able to recognize different gifts and talents and put them together. Much of the strength and energy of the church team becomes dissipated through conflict and contention by people who do not know how to operate by the honorable rules of engagement. See, when the senior pastor puts together a team to accomplish a certain assignment, the authority that he or she breaks off to the leader is when that leader speaks in that different auxiliary or whatever team it is, the people that are assisting that leader must yield just like as if the senior pastor is there. Once again, we can't let pride and ego get in the way. See, I can quickly tell somebody who's going to be a problem. You can easily tell them. They're easy to pick out. Because, first of all, they want to be the opposite of what the person in charge is saying. They always got something to add to it. They always got something to say. They always got something to say. So you can automatically know they're not operating by the honorable rules of engagement. They're looking for a position. Are you seeing this? So when you're placed, when you're with your senior pastor, one of the qualities you see by your senior pastor is that he or she is able to put together winning teams, put together people that are going to cooperate, put together people that are going to get the job accomplished. People that are going to do it, whether he or she is standing there or not. Are you seeing it? Not just looking for FaceTime, and it's not on your phone, but also looking for, but you're able to do it just as if Paul said this. Paul said this about Timothy. Paul sent Timothy to a certain city. He said, "I'm sending Timothy. Because I know somebody going to do it just as if I was doing it." See, that's when a winning team. And a senior pastor has the ability to put those people together. Now watch this. Membership, the author does an excellent job in doing this. We won't spend much time on this because I want to finish with this first aspect before class is over. And then we got, because chapter 13 is pretty large. And I want to get to a certain part of chapter 13. He talks about membership differs according to one, spiritual maturity. These are those who have presented themselves to God and renewed their mind to stay focused to doing God's will. That's Romans 12, 1 and 2. We went over that last class. I've been sent you, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present yourself holy and accept God, which is a reasonable service. Then it goes, and be not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may be able to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Two, members differ because they possess different gifts from God, and they're all unique in their contribution. That's Romans 12 and 6, where it talks about different gifts. We all have different, now here's what we're talking about, the empowering grace. We all have different abilities given to God as potential that are being outworked in us by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That is that empowering grace. See, all of us are in the same, in the outside of God. We are all the same. But then God turns around and begins to empower us in different ways. Are you seeing it? And you have to recognize how God is empowering you. Is that making sense? So, somebody Even in those winning teams that the pastor is putting together, even that team, that auxiliary, that group of people, they were put together because they did each have different empowering graces. It don't make no sense to put everybody on the same auxiliary and not do the same thing. Because then they ain't going to get accomplished. Because everybody's going to do the same thing on that particular project they got. Nobody's going to do nothing else. Everybody's doing the same thing. So what's this putting together? It's a waste of time. So you must be comfortable with somebody being able to do something that you can't do and being able to work with them. So that's key. You have to be comfortable being put with somebody that can do something that you can't do and be comfortable working with them. Because watch this. What does covenant do? Covenant covers each other's weaknesses. So how is your weaknesses covered? That's somebody else's strength. So when you put together with somebody, when you put together with a team, it's because there's something that you can do that they can't do, and something they can do that you can't do. But when you do what you do, and they do what they do, the project gets accomplished. Remember, different according to faith. We need to believe this is God's will for us to function in such a way. In other words, sometimes we differ in our belief system. You know, the 12 disciples. Thomas was like, man, Jesus, I hear you, but I need to put my hand or put my finger in the hole in your side. I need to put my finger in the hole in your hand. You say, okay, Peter. Thomas, come on. Come on, let's do it. Come on. But then some of those guys didn't have to need that. See, they differed according to faith also. But Jesus used them all. They differ according to actions. Peter was a prime example of this. Peter was just as gung-ho as they come. Someone was more reserved. Peter was like, nah. Peter was the one that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, seeing the Holy Spirit, seeing Jesus. Get them down here. Let's build a tabernacle and stay right there. Peter was the one that cut the man ear off, saying, no, you're not taking my rabbi, but you ain't taking it today, ain't today. That was Peter. See, we different part of action. Some of us are more aggressive than others. That's just life. Some of us are more subdued. We differ according to action. The mental state, mentality. Members differ according to mentality. The mental state of thinking paradigm of a believer results in the efficiency and progress of their gifting and talent. Some people sometimes need coaching to get their empowered, to for them to recognize their empowered gift. Others may not need coaching. Some people are self-starters. Some people may not be self-starters. That don't mean they're any least effective. They might just need a priming. As they call kindlewood, to start the fire. Somebody be gasoline. Just sit the back till they flow. But Jesus uses them all. God uses them all. Are you feeling it? So watch this. So we can't be judging, and because things happen to judge, and doesn't judge, and shouldn't judge. We can't judge each other on these differences. We must find how to mature each person in these differences so that they can reach their full potential. Are you seeing this? So we got to become comfortable. It's all about comfort. We got to be comfortable with working with each other, with dealing with each other, with covering each other, with allowing other people to cover us, and not let our egos and pride get in the way. Lastly, members different according to function. Each believer is different from another by way of function. Are you seeing this? Every part operates according to its own function, which contributes to the what? Oh, that's the last statement in that. I want you to put the line there. Every part operates according to its own function, which contributes to the whole. Last, The last important role of the senior pastor, a function of the senior pastor, is to get right strategy to execute God's revealed plan. Like this. The man of God must find wisdom in God. Find wisdom in where? In God. The man of God must find wisdom in God. Not develop your own. But must find wisdom. Listen to me. But must find wisdom in God. Not what looks right, not what sounds right, not what seems right. Right? There's a scripture, right? There's a way that seems right. But the end thereof is our separation from God. The man of God must find wisdom in God to translate the revealed, watch it, translate the revealed will of God into a strategic action for effective execution. I've seen it happen with apostles. That's how LTMA was developed. That's how the 12 was chosen. That's how the 12 was chosen in the church. Because of translating the plan of God into an effective strategy. So now people all over this country and in this world are being affected because of that strategy. What strategy? The strategy of the 12, having 12 leaders, being over 12 circles, people in those circles, and then watch this. As information is being disseminated, now the people are getting the same thing at where life is being preached all over the country. Now watch this. Why and how does that make sense? Well, most of these guys want to attach to Dr. Thompson because of the results he's getting, the anointing on his life. Okay, if that's the case, then you're going to have to do what he's doing. If you do what he's doing, you're going to get the same results that he's getting. Are you seeing this? So the strategy is, the end result is people are being delivered by a unique anointing being dispersed through different people. Strategy. The strategy formulated in the mind of the senior pastor will become the instrument for God's word into the region. And I'm closing here. Every strategy must be in harmony of the Spirit of God in the house and the city. I'm going to read that again. Every strategy must be in harmony of the Spirit of God in the house and the city. You all have a wonderful night. You should have your last class. It's going to be prayer, and he should be here in a few moments.